Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to preach a sermon on how to live in perilous times. How to live in perilous times. I mean, there's no question that the world today is in perilous times. The topic among Christians often concerns how to live in perilous times. Some want to hunker down and await the coming storm. You know, they hoard gold, they've got 10 years worth of water and 10 years worth of food, and they can live off the grid and all that kind of stuff. Some want all the churches to unite and stand together by being a larger multitude, thinking if you know that there's power in numbers, strength in numbers. Some are apathetic. They're just giving up hope. We're in perilous times, and all we can do now is just wait on Jesus. And, of course, waiting on Jesus is good, but if it is only mixed with an apathetic heart, well, there's a problem there. Some are clueless, don't really realize what we're in right now. Some are fearful, and all of their conversation about the perilous times is centered around fear. They've lost power and love and strength in the Lord. Some just pretend that everything's going to be fine as long as they're happy. Which is a pretty selfish attitude, you know. Anyway, there are a variety of thoughts on how to live in perilous times. These are just some of the things that are going on with some of the people that I've met. Well, the Bible gives us very, very clear instructions on how to live in perilous times. And if you will follow the six things that you're going to hear in this broadcast today, you're going to find that you will be well prepared to live in these times that are perilous times according to the Bible. The first thing you need to do when you want to know how to live in perilous times is you need to keep yourself in the love of God. Turn with me to Jude 21. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter here. The book of Jude is a great book, and it is very appropriate for the day in which we live. It speaks just like a journal of things going on today. But in Jude, verse 21, the Bible says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." And the context is ungodly people committing ungodly deeds and ungodly sinners who are murmurers, complainers, who walk after their own lust, who speak great swelling words, who have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They're mockers. They have ungodly lust. They're sensual. They're not led by the Spirit. It was very much like what you see going on around you today. And the Lord says, when you're in a situation like that, when you're in a society like the one we're in today, he said, keep yourself in the love of God. Well, keeping yourself in the love of God takes great care. That's not an accidental thing. You can't just wake up in the morning, stretch your arms and say, oh, God, I love you. I mean, you can do that, but that's not enough. That's not keeping yourself in the love of God. As in a marriage, you must dedicate your time to the Lord. In fellowship, you've got to spend time with him. You've got to be thinking about him and devote yourself to the Lord and to his desires. That involves obedience. Obey the Lord. There are a lot of Christians that live in disobedience to the Lord. The Bible shows you clearly what we ought to be doing, and a lot of Christians are not doing that stuff. Obey him. Serve him. Be faithful to him in every circumstance. Talk with him. I mean, we call it prayer, and you're going to hear more about that in this message, but I mean, just like you would with a friend. He is a friend. Just talk with him. Walk with him like Enoch did. No, truly look for him in every aspect of your life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says it this way, in all thy ways acknowledge him. That is, to have an acute knowledge of what he's doing and where he is in the particular way you're in right now. In other words, look for him in every aspect of your life. When you sleep, when you're eating with your family, when you work, when you're driving, when you're socializing with other people, when you're witnessing, when you're praising God, when you're in fellowship with people in church, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, look for God in every aspect of your life. Love what he loves. And true love also would have the counterpart, and that is to hate what he hates. Generally speaking, be where he wants you to be, do what he wants you to do, and please him and follow him, and don't let anyone or anything at any time come between you and God. Let him be your all in all. You know, because whatever is going on in the world around you, you can't let that drag you away from God, not even for a second. You know, sometimes when we get home at night, you know, there's a temptation to get on the internet and kind of see what the day's news is or what may have happened, see what a fluctuation might be in the stock market, see what kind of bad news you can pick up on whatever news source you read. And you know something? That kind of news late in the nighttime has a poisoning effect on your spirit. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes you go to bed and you're angry about something godless people have done in society today. Or sometimes you are worried because you see a sudden direction in the markets or in your financial investments that causes you to concern. Or you learn something when you go into your social network about somebody that either commented in a way that you don't like or said something that you can't stand or said something that makes you sad. In any case, those things become preeminent and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes secondary. You oughtn't to do that. You ought to let all those things go and let the love of the Lord God be your primary concern when you retire for the night and when you arise in the morning. Keep yourself in the love of God. Here's the second thing. How to live in perilous times. First of all, keep yourself in the love of God. Secondly, build up your faith. Look with me again in Jude, but this time at verse 20. But ye, beloved, in other words, while all these other bad things are going on, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to build up your faith? Well, stay in the Word and live by it. Build up your faith by maintaining a steady diet of the words of God every day. I mean, look for the Lord when you're reading. Look for the Lord to speak to you out of the Bible by giving him time in prayer and meditation to show you a verse of Scripture in the Bible or maybe some verses of Scripture in the Bible that apply to you today. You know how people like to read devotional material? Well, when you pick up a devotional book that was written by somebody and they show you a particular verse of Scripture on, you know, a particular day in July or a particular day in December, they don't know what's going on in your life. And it's not written like a horoscope where they're trying to anticipate what's going to be going on in your life. They're just, whatever happened to them that day, that was the devotion they wanted to write. They wrote it down. Well, sometimes those devotions address where you are and what you're doing today, but oftentimes it's just a book, and that happened to be the day that they put that devotion there. What I'm talking about is where you're reading the Bible, and when you're reading, you're learning, you're absorbing, you're nourishing in the words of God, but then you're also looking for the Lord to speak to you out of a verse of Scripture or verses of Scripture, and they may not be in your daily reading. They may be somewhere else in the Bible, but what you've done after you've read is you get up and either kneel down if that's your posture of prayer or lay down if that's your posture of prayer or sit down or walk around in your house, whatever the case may be. And you're praying and communing with God, but you're listening and meditating upon what you've read so that the Scripture can give you direction, so that the Lord can instruct you from the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, he's going to give you a verse or some verses that apply to your life right now to cause you to grow. You ought to also listen to preaching, both in church when your pastor is preaching, and you ought to listen on the radio or on the internet. Why? Because good sermons offer reproof and instruction. I listen to the radio. If I'm in the vehicle, a lot of times I'll turn the radio on, or I'll stream a broadcast. I mean, somebody else's broadcast, you know, stream a sermon. Why? Because oftentimes the Lord uses the preaching of the Word of God in that fashion to also give me instruction. In other words, what you want to do is you want to walk by faith in the light of God's Word rather than to walk by sight, to look how things are around you, or to walk by feeling. In other words, a lot of us respond to things emotionally, or we respond to them by the way of perception. This is the way it looks to me. Those things are very, very, very unsure. They're very potentially deceiving to walk like that. Your sight may mislead you. Your feelings may mislead you. So what you want to do is you want to let what God says in the Bible guide you and guide your affairs rather than what men say, or rather than what you see or what you feel. Now, you're going to go through problems in your life. You may be going through one right now. You're going to go through trials in your life. Life is like that. It's full of those things. You're going to suffer some along the way. That's just the way it is. And yet in all of your problems and all of your trials and all of your suffering, listen, God will always be good and God will always be faithful. And the reason is he'll let you go through those things because the more you go through by faith, the more you're going to build up your faith. You're going to get stronger. And you know something? You need strong faith in perilous times. Because perilous times they have their own unique set of problems. Your personal temptations and various things going on around you that are challenges to your faith. So you want to build up your faith, because faith is how you're going to get the strength to go through the perilous times. How do you live in perilous times? First of all, you keep yourself in the love of God. You love Him more than anybody else, and don't let anything get between you and Him. You build up your faith like an athlete will build up his muscles by resisting in hard times, by following the Word of God and coming out on the other side stronger than you were when you went in. The third thing you do to live in perilous times is that you pray in the Holy Ghost. Look again in Jude, and this time at verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, now, this is not some special unknown prayer language. This is prayer that is Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. For instance, in Acts chapter 4, I'm not saying that your house is going to shake like it did here in Acts chapter 4, but in Acts chapter 4, the disciples have gone through some very difficult stuff because they've been told that they cannot preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're beginning to suffer persecution because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they pray. And when they finish praying, in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul and so forth. I mean, good things came as a result of that. That's, you know what that is? That's Spirit-filled praying. That's where you're in communion with God in prayer, and you're praying along the way that God wants you to pray. He's there with you. Spirit-filled prayer, Spirit-led prayer. Look with me in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. And when we talk about praying in the Holy Ghost, we're not talking about this charismatic tongue-talking thing. We're talking about, I mean, like Paul said, I will pray with the understanding. We're talking about Spirit-filled, Spirit-led prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Now watch it, not with words, but with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So this kind of prayer is godly. I mean, it's right in line with what God wants, because the Spirit of God is guiding you in the prayer. This is prayer that is humble. You know, you're not proud. You're not exalting yourself. It's earnest. It's got a strong burden in it. It's fervent. It means something to you. It's effectual. You're getting through. It's godly, because God's in it everywhere. And it's powerful. Why? Because it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's according to the things he wants. You say it is prayer that is not hurried. Oh, I tell you today, man, we are the microwave society, the cell phone society. Pick it up, dial the number, make your request. You know, we're the fast food society. Hello, God, I have an order. I'll pick it up in 15 minutes. My name is, bang, here's the order. Hang up the phone, and 15 minutes later, you are ready for the answer. And God, listen, he doesn't work like that. God's not in a hurry. Have you ever watched Christians grow? Have you ever looked at your own spiritual growth in Christ? We don't grow like bottle rockets. It's slow. I wouldn't say that it's as slow as the movement of a glacier, but it's not a whole lot faster than that. And the beauty of growth in Christ is that it never stops. It's like a tree. Every year, you're still continuing to grow. But if you look over your life over a 30-year period, you say, I've really grown a lot in the Lord. But if you look at it in the last week to now, not that much. Well, likewise, God is not in such big hurry. So prayer in the Holy Ghost is prayer that's not hurried. You take your time with the Lord, and it's not distracted. Man, I'll tell you, we have a hard time today, don't we? And I'm talking about myself as well, keeping our minds on the Lord when we're praying. We sometimes go to wrong thoughts. Sometimes we go to thoughts about employment or things that are going on down at the job, or things that are going on with the family, or things that got to be done, you know, in the chores, or things that have to be done in the office, or things that people you need to go see. And there's all kinds of distraction. Well, praying in the Holy Ghost is not distracted prayer. You settle in with him and you say, you know, I can get to those things when I'm done with this, but right now I got to pray. Praying in the Holy Ghost is prayer that draws you to the throne of God. Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So it draws you right up into the presence of God. And prayer in the Holy Ghost is also prayer that turns God's attention toward you. And we need that. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So this is prayer that gets answered. And in perilous times, I mean, there's hardly anyone else who's going to help you. You need God. So how do you live in perilous times? Well, you keep yourself in the love of God. Don't let anything come between you and him. You build up your faith. That is, as you go through trouble, you keep walking by what God says. You'll get stronger in faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I mean, earnest, fervent, Spirit-led, Spirit-filled prayer. And the next thing, keep yourself pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, keep yourself pure. 1 John 3:3 is in the context, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the context is the rapture, or the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as we are pure. Purify yourself. Keep yourself pure. I mean, a big part of the trouble in perilous times is that Christians get sucked into the world and into loving the things of the world. I mean, that's all by the devil's design. That's to pull you out of your friendship with God. And today, many Christians are not consecrated to the Lord. Many Christians are not sanctified by God. So when you look around and you see that filthy Christians are the norm, when you say, what do you mean by filthy Christians? Well, Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, that we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He's talking to saved people. He's talking to you and me. That we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, when you look around and you see that filthy Christians, not ones that are clean, but filthy Christians are the norm, you know what you do? You think, well, I'm doing okay. So you lower your standard. You lower your conviction. You lower your purity. And the pervasive worldliness that is through and through in Christianity today, you know what it does? It puts us further and further out of touch with God. You and I must stay pure. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth," watch it, "to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." The Lord shows himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You and I are going to need the strength of the Lord in perilous times. And his strength is available to them whose heart is perfect toward him. So you've got to purify yourself. And you know what? The standard of purity is Jesus, not your neighbor. So you need, your purity is based upon what he is and not what the people around you are. And you take it up a notch. In perilous times, you've got to really work on staying pure. Lot didn't. He vexed his righteous soul with their ungodly conversation, and so it drug him down. You don't want to get drugged down, not in perilous times, because you'll lose your strength. Your strength is when your heart is pure, not when it's wicked and filthy and defiled by the world. What's the next thing? Turn to the Old Testament, Habakkuk. We're looking at six things. This is thing number five in how to live in perilous times. Habakkuk chapter 3, look at verse 18. Again, in the context, you're going to find that it's tough times right before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the context. And Habakkuk 3:18 says, "Yet," in other words, with all that going on, "yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Now, the very center and source of your joy must be the Lord. Must be. But the problem today is that Christians are finding joy in pleasures and entertainment and recreation. And I'm not saying that a time of recreation is bad. But when you delight in things and activities more than you delight in God, then you let those things replace the joy that can only come from the Lord. And in perilous times, you have to be careful with pleasures. Because in perilous times, you can easily start loving the pleasures more than you love God. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 says. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of Christians today who are plagued with that. You may be one. In perilous times, particularly in perilous times, you begin to realize that happiness is fickle. It's temporary. While true joy is permanent. I mean, in other words, with real joy, you can rejoice in tribulation. With real joy, you rejoice in affliction. With real joy, with God-given joy, with joy in the Lord, you rejoice in persecution. It's joy that gets you through these tough times. And so if your joy is only in pleasure, you're going to have a terrible time in perilous times. You must turn your joy to the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord. That's how you live through perilous times. And what else do you do? Let's go back to Jude, and I'll show you one more thing. Jude, we've already looked in verse 20, and we've looked in verse 21, but look with me in Jude, and this time let's look in verses 22 and 23. Well, in the context, let's come down from 21. He says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." What's the sixth thing that you should do when you're living in perilous times? Take somebody else with you. Listen, everybody, every single person without Jesus Christ, no matter where he is in the world, is going to hell. People say, well, don't you think if Muslims are, you know, abiding by some of the commandments in the Bible, God will have mercy on them? Not if they reject Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, then you don't like the Bible, because Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. So I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible. I don't believe you when you say, well, I think as long as they live by the dictates of their religion, God will have mercy on them. That's a human way of looking at a spiritual dilemma. And if it's a spiritual dilemma, you need to look at it God's way, not man's way. And he said, everyone without Jesus Christ, no matter where they are in the world, is going to hell. So you know what that means? In perilous times, more and more people are going to reject the Lord. And yet I'm telling you, there are still those who will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior as long as someone will preach the gospel to them. So you know what? You be that someone. Don't keep your salvation to yourself. There are ungodly people out there who need to hear Jesus preached, and they need to hear him preach with compassion. Of some have compassion making a difference. And they need to hear him preach with fear, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. That means you got to preach hell, and you got to preach heaven. You got to preach the love of God, and you got to preach the judgment of God. Now, listen. Don't keep your salvation to yourself. Quit consuming all your thoughts on yourself, and quit consuming all of your time on you. And that way you'll have some time, and you'll have some cash, compassion to enter the harvest. Sow the word of God, and reap some souls. You say, really? Absolutely. That's what you need to do in perilous times. Go tell somebody else about Jesus and help them out of this mess. Now listen, if you'll stay with these few things, these little six things right here, you'll be able to make it through perilous times. Christians right now are dulling their senses and wasting their time with worldly technology and entertainment. Don't drift away from these six important things by neglecting them in your life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Build up your faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself pure. Rejoice in the Lord. And preach the gospel to the lost so you can take somebody else with you when you go to heaven. And I'll tell you what, if you go by those six things, you can make it no matter how bad the world gets around you. You can go through it every single day until Jesus comes, and you'll be all right. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.